The sermon this afternoon is entitled, Satan Hates the Sabbath. And we're going to be looking at the last part of question 121 of the larger catechism. Now, the great benefit that the Sabbath is to man, certainly Satan would hate it. So let's look at that this afternoon. Please give your attention now to the reading of God's holy and inspired word. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, we'll read just the first verse. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. I'd like also to read Genesis chapter 2, the first three verses. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Now we are promised in the reading of God's word in Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Our prayer this afternoon is that God would bless the reading, the hearing, and the application of His perfect and holy word. Amen. Well, these three passages before us today, I read them for a specific reason. They demonstrate for us that the work of Satan is to destroy God's people. The Second Chronicles passage is a proof text from the larger catechism in the Lord's Prayer. It shows us that Satan is desiring our destruction as Satan stands up against Israel to move David to sin. Secondly, the 1 Peter 5 passage gives us this familiar passage of the devil roaming about to devour us. He does not roam about for our mutual good or to do good things for us. He roams about for our destruction. And the Genesis passage is very good to confirm the fact that the Sabbath is a good thing. It is blessed and sanctified by God. And so we put these three thoughts together. There should be enough evidence to show us that the Sabbath is something that Satan hates. It's something that he desires to destroy, especially if we consider the great value of the Sabbath day in the life of the Christian. It is a beneficial thing. Satan does not desire beneficial things in our lives. He seeks to destroy us. And so we want to make the case today, especially from the larger catechism question 121, that Satan hates the Lord's day. Let's look to that question. You'll see it there in your worship order. Why is the word remember set in the beginning of the fourth commandment? Answer. The word remember is set in the beginning of the fourth commandment partly because of the great benefit of remembering it, we being thereby helped in our preparation to keep it, and in keeping it better to keep all the rest of the commandments, and to continue a thankful remembrance of the two great benefits of creation and redemption, which contain a short abridgment of religion, and partly because we are very ready to forget it, for that there is less light of nature in it. And yet it restraineth our natural liberty and things at other times lawful, that it cometh but once in 7 days, and many worldly businesses in between, and too often we take our minds from thinking of it, either to prepare for it or to sanctify it. Now, last week we did an much too brief covering of these items so far, but I want to spend our last time in the Sabbath, or the subject of the Sabbath, on this last phrase of the answer of question 121. This is one of the reasons why we need to remember the Sabbath. That Satan, with his instruments, labors much to blot out the glory and even the memory of it, and to bring in all irreligion and impiety. Now, Satan plays a key role in the plan of God. There is no doubt God uses Satan for His glory. And we see all through the Word of God from the very beginning, Satan is the adversary. He is the tempter. He is the bringer of lies, the bringer of death and destruction. Why would we make the statement today that Satan hates the Sabbath day? What is it about the Sabbath day that would make it a target of Satan's wrath? As we'll see from the scriptural record, Satan hates the things of God, and he hates the things that benefit the people of God. And that helps us today to know and understand, to see from the scripture, that Satan focuses his wrath on particular things. Satan particularly hates the church. Satan particularly hates the family. And we see in our day the after effects of that hatred as the church has declined, and also as the family has declined. We would say Satan hates marriage as well, and marriage has declined. But we want to also today, and we're specifically focusing on the principle and the statement, we need to also see that Satan's hatred falls upon the Sabbath day, the holy day of the Lord. Now, why would we want to say that today? How can we make the connection that Satan hates the Sabbath day? Well, partly because of what the Sabbath day represents. The Lord's Day represents the salvation of God's people, something that Satan hates because it means the restricting of his power and his kingdom. In all of Satan's efforts to destroy God's people, nothing would contribute more than an end to that thing which most visibly points mankind to Jesus Christ. Satan hates the Word of God. Satan hates the sacraments. Satan hates the means of grace. And you remember the connection that we've made so far about the Sabbath day is that it is not in particular a means of grace. It is a means to magnify the means of grace. It's a day for the means of grace. So Satan hates the Sabbath day. The Lord's Day, very specifically and plainly in the Scriptures, the Lord's Day points us to Jesus Christ. And anything that reveals Jesus Christ, anything that shines forth the glory of Jesus Christ, Satan hates. Secondly, the Lord's Day represents the rest that God's children enjoy in Christ. That's a rest, my friends, that reminds Satan continually, each and every week until the end of time, of the end of his power and influence. Satan hates the rest that is pictured in the Sabbath day. The Lord's Day also represents the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we've talked at length about how the Lord's Day itself shines forth the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That resurrection of Jesus Christ is an event that ultimately destroys all of Satan's power and influence. Satan hates that people see the resurrection in the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day also represents acts of mercy and necessity, two things that Satan could care less about when it comes to the children of God. Satan does not desire to see acts of mercy and necessity. he wants to see acts of destruction and misery. Satan hates the Lord's Day because it represents mercy and necessity. If ever there was a day that Satan would want to destroy in the history of the creation, if ever there was a day that Satan would hate, it would be the Sabbath day. If ever there was a day that Satan would oppose, it would be the Sabbath day. If ever there was a day that Satan would despise and want to destroy, it would be the Sabbath day. A continual, repetitive reminder of his destruction and the victory that is won by Jesus Christ. This should be evidence to show us how important that the Sabbath day is to the church. If ever there was a day that was useful in the church's spiritual warfare against Satan, it would be the Lord's Day. And yet Christians in our age are blinded to the great spiritual significance of the Sabbath day. I think that is very easily proven in a very cursory examination of the church in our day. One wonders if only the church could see how much Satan hates the Sabbath day, perhaps they would see how much they ought to value the Sabbath day. If only they could see how much effort and ammunition that Satan has spent to suppress the Sabbath day, perhaps they would not so willingly cooperate with him in his efforts. If only Christians could see just how much damage has been done in our nation to the church and to the family and to the world today by Satan's efforts to suppress the Sabbath, perhaps Christians would take a stand to honor the fourth commandment. That's our prayer today, that the church would awaken to keep the Sabbath. But more importantly, it's our prayer that you and I would value the Sabbath as much as we ought to value the Sabbath. And I would call you to see how much Satan hates this day. He despises this day. He seethes in anger over this day. See that as a proof of the value of this day in your spiritual life. Who is Satan? Who are his instruments that we're talking about here in this answer to the larger catechism? Well, in some circles, I would need to make a defense of the existence of Satan. Sometimes we have to do that in the church today, the devil. But our commitment to the scriptures and the statements in our confessional standards, they make it pretty clear that Satan exists and that he has a role in God's plan. Who are Satan's instruments? His instruments are those who work for him and for his cause, whether they be spiritual beings or whether they be men. Any instrument that is used or that stands with Satan are instruments of Satan. All of those who labor against the kingdom of God are Satan's agents. That Satan hates people is pretty clear from the scriptures. The testimony from the very beginning to the end is that Satan hates man, that he has labored for the destruction of man. Passages over and over, I have an entire page listed here with passages that I could mention. I'm going to go through a few. In the very beginning in Genesis, Satan is the tempter who tries to bring the destruction of man. In 1 Chronicles 21, the passage that we looked at very briefly, Satan moves David to sin. What would happen if the king were moved to sin? He would drag lots of other people along with him in his sin. And so Satan moves God's people to sin. In Job 2, we see an example where Satan goes forth to and fro around the earth, and then he strikes Job with painful boils. In Matthew 4, Satan desires for Jesus to sin by worshiping him. In Luke chapter 8, the devil takes away the word from the hearts of those who hear. In Luke 18, Satan binds a woman. In Luke 22, Satan enters Judas to betray Jesus. Again in Luke 22, Satan desires to sift Simon as wheat. In John 8, Satan is a murderer and from the beginning the father of lies. In Acts 5, Satan fills the hearts of one to lie to the Holy Spirit. In Acts 26, the power of Satan blinds the eyes of the Gentiles. In 1 Corinthians 5:5, Satan destroys flesh. 2 Corinthians 2, Satan tries to take advantage of God's people. 2 Corinthians 11, Satan transforms himself into an image of light. 2 Corinthians 12, Satan sends a thorn into the flesh of the Apostle Paul. On and on, throughout the New Testament, example after example, show us that Satan hates us, that he desires for our destruction and our death. 2 Thessalonians 2, Satan is the lawless one. 1 Timothy 3, Satan sets a snare. Hebrews 2, the devil has the power of death, though he is overcome by Christ. 1 Peter 5, 8, passage we read today. He is the adversary who walks around like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. The Bible makes it very clear how much Satan hates man and how he desires for our destruction today. Satan wants nothing more than to destroy anything holy in this world. Anything that is God's, he especially hates. And is this not one of the points that we have made from the very beginning in our discussion of the Sabbath day? That it is a holy day. That it is set aside, that it belongs to God for the great benefit of man. All those points are reasons why Satan hates the Sabbath day. That's why the Westminster Divines so wisely saw the addition of this statement in our larger catechism question today, that Satan is seeking the destruction of the Sabbath day. Our Confession of Faith also lays out in great detail how Satan works in the world. From chapter 1, I'm not going to read all of these, but I want to look at chapter 1 of the Confession, because in describing the importance of the Word of God, listen to the word that is used to describe Satan. For the better preserving and propagating of the truth, for the more sure establishment and comfort of the church against the corruption of the flesh and the malice of Satan and of the world, to commit the same wholly into writing, which maketh the Holy Scriptures to be most necessary. So even in the giving of the Word of God, the malice of Satan is described by the Westminster Confession. Malice is a dark word. It means extreme enmity of heart. It means a disposition to injure others without cause, from mere personal gratification or from a spirit of revenge, unprovoked malignity or spite. If you're a confessional person, if you understand and hold to the Westminster Confession, all through the Confession, the role of Satan is described in chapter after chapter after chapter. In chapter 5 of our Confession, it mentions the power of Satan over those who are wicked. Chapter 6 of the Confession describes Satan's role in the fall of man. Satan is described as the seducer. He's the subtle one in chapter 6 of the Confession. Chapter 17 of our Confession, on the perseverance of the saints, shows us how God's people continue to be influenced by Satan. I want to read this particular question in chapter 17. Nevertheless, they may, speaking of saints, through the temptations of Satan and of the world, the prevalency of corruption remaining in them, and the neglect of the means of their perseverance, fall into grievous sins. So even though we are Christ's, even though we are victorious today, there is a list of reasons here why we fall into the grip of Satan. I want you to see today, we don't have to be in the grip of Satan. We don't have to be in his bondage today because Christ has been victorious. Now, we are still fallen. We still have a sinful nature. But whether or not we succumb to the temptations of Satan, most often is left up to you and I. Chapter 20 of the Confession describes how those who are in Christ are delivered from the power of Satan and from his bondage. Let me read this for you very briefly. The liberty which Christ hath purchased for believers under the gospel consists in their freedom from the guilt of sin, the condemning wrath of God, the curse of the moral law, and in their being delivered from this present evil world, bondage to Satan, of dominion of sin, from the evil of afflictions, the sting of death, the victory of the grave, and everlasting damnation. And so you and I today are delivered from these things, but we still have to wade through them in this world, and we still have to be tempted by Satan, by these other influences here. But here, in application to the Sabbath, is where a great problem comes in for the people of God today. We are not enslaved to Satan. We are not enslaved under his power and authority today. But often by our own actions, we place ourselves under his power. We place ourselves under his authority when he has no authority over us. This is perhaps the great tragedy of the Sabbath day. The Sabbath neglect that we see in the Church of God today in our age, it doesn't have to be so. Satan has not taken the Sabbath day. Satan has not enslaved the day or bound us so that we cannot use the day for our benefit. Satan has not defeated Christ. Christ has defeated Satan. Christians are not enslaved to Satan so that they cannot honor the Sabbath day. They have willingly given the Sabbath over to Satan. In many cases, without even a fight in our day. It's embarrassing that the church of our age has given away the Sabbath. They've given it to Satan because they can't tear themselves away from the trivialities of the world for one day a week. It's quite a shame that we have this great benefit from the Sabbath that we could have, but the church has given it away. And I think it's certainly irony to say that on the one day of the week that most visibly displays the victory won by Christ, millions of Christians can't wait until the clock strikes noon so they can run away from Christ and run into the waiting arms of the world. What a shame that is. This day displays the victory of Christ. Why do we give it to Satan? Why do we give it away? In fact, Satan hasn't won a great victory today in the blotting out of the Sabbath day in our culture. The church has given it to him without a fight. Chapter 21 tells us how Satan works to try to corrupt the worship of God. Listen to the statement here in chapter 21. But the acceptable way of worshiping the true God is instituted by himself, and so limited by his own revealed will, that he may not be worshipped according to the imaginations and devices of men or the suggestions of Satan. You see, Satan is even working in our day in worship services. He is even working in our day to corrupt worship. Why would he do that? Why would he do such a thing? As we've discovered from the Word of God, you see that he hates you. And you know that you benefit greatly from the right and proper worship of God. Why wouldn't Satan want to corrupt worship? Satan hates not only the Sabbath itself, but he hates the good and proper elements that are connected with the Sabbath. Satan hates the proper worship of God. Satan hates the singing of psalms. How much effort that Satan had to put into the suppressing of the singing of psalms in the last 100 years. Is it the same type of thing with the Sabbath that the church just gave them up willingly? Did Satan have to work that hard? Who gets the credit? The church? The culture? Satan? Sure that Satan deserves a portion of that credit, but I think you and I and the church of our age deserves probably most of the credit for the giving up of the singing of psalms? Are we surprised today that Satan would hate biblical, regulated worship? But from what you know about Satan, it seems like a pretty good connection that you can see that in the Word of God. What exalts God more today than worshiping Him like He has commanded? Nothing. Nothing exalts God more than biblical worship. Satan hates nothing more than biblical worship and the day in which we do it. What exalts God less than worshiping God in ways that He has not commanded? That is an offense to God. Does Satan stand and fight against false worship today? Why would he? Why would Satan stand against false worship? He encourages false worship. The suggestions of Satan are opposed to all the proper and biblical elements of the worship of God. God's Word commands and provides the Psalms alone for singing and worship. The suggestions of Satan are to replace the Psalms or to eliminate the Psalms in worship. Not hard to put the connections together. It's also not hard to see that a day that is set aside for public worship is a day that Satan would particularly hate above all other days. In fact, he labors with the greatest zeal against the Sabbath day. And the logic goes something like this. J.G. Voss lays this out for us. Satan, with his agents and the citizens of his kingdom, is engaged in an age-long warfare against God and God's kingdom. The divine ordinances can find but little time on weekdays. They are largely dependent upon the Sabbath day for an adequate amount of time and attention. Satan, of course, understands this. I'll interject, Christians don't understand this, but Satan does. And he realizes that if he can break down the Sabbath, then the preaching of the gospel and the ordinances of divine worship will be neglected. If the preaching of the gospel and the ordinances of divine worship are neglected, then God's kingdom cannot prosper. If God's kingdom does not prosper, then Satan's kingdom will not be interfered with. And if Satan's kingdom is not interfered with, then Satan will have a clear track to accomplish his wicked purposes in the world. So we see that the Sabbath, far from being an arbitrary and unreasonable command of God, is calculated to accomplish a great purpose and to form a real bulwark against Satan's kingdom and the floods of iniquity. What a great summary there by Voss. How does Satan labor today to blot out the glory and the memory of the Sabbath day? First of all, we might say by seeking to destroy the Sabbath day, to just destroy it outright, to eliminate it from our culture, to eliminate it from the world. Satan wants to destroy the day itself. Well, we might say, secondly, a little more subtle way, and perhaps more dangerous, Satan wants to diminish the Sabbath day. Perhaps in making it seem less important in the eyes of the culture, or in the eyes of the Christian, or in the eyes of the church. And we can see that this attack has been pretty successful. As we are speaking out and defending the Sabbath day, many Christians, they hear our statements about the Sabbath, or they hear our complaints about the neglect of the Sabbath, and you'll notice that oftentimes the most pious Christians, when they hear our words, they might just shrug their shoulders. They might just think that we're making a fuss about something that's no big thing. They don't understand our love for, our emphasis on the Sabbath day. In fact, it's so bad in the modern Christian church that many who name the name of Christ can't even tell you what the fourth commandment is, much less what the fourth commandment means for their life. Our culture certainly sees the day as less important, and so that victory has been won. In generations past, even people who didn't attend church, they understood the value of church. They understood the value of the Sabbath day. They understood the principle of rest. But in our day, even Christians don't understand the principle of rest and the spiritual significance of the Sabbath. Thirdly, not only can Satan try to destroy the day, not only can he try to diminish the day, but another way that Satan tries to blot out the glory in the memory of the Sabbath is by seeking to misdirect the Sabbath day. And I think this is the most dangerous. It's the most subtle of his methods. And as you can see, and with so many Christian people today who love the Lord, they'll attend church services in the morning, but then in the afternoon it somehow shifts into a special time for entertainment or for their own interests. The Sabbath is then cleverly misdirected. They still go to church, but they don't observe the entirety of the day. It's very, very subtle. And so instead of the day being focused on the beauty of Christ and the precious work that He has accomplished in the salvation of His people, instead it becomes a day for football or for games or for recreation or nothing. Satan is indeed a subtle deceiver. One would think that most Christians would kick against the suggestion of never again going to church on Sunday. So that would probably be a poor tactic on the part of Satan, try to eliminate the day altogether. Instead, he's convinced so many today that in perhaps dutifully giving an hour of their day is the end of their Sabbath obligations to their God. And in most cases, and this is what the standards, the case that the larger catechism makes, in most cases then, that in of itself, a small commitment to a part of the day, has led to the decline of morals and decency in our culture. It has brought in all irreligion and impiety. That connection is made. I want to spend a few minutes as we close our time in our study of the Sabbath and our time this afternoon. I want to look at the larger catechism. Specifically, the larger catechism mentions Satan or the devil 12 times. 12 times the larger catechism mentions Satan. 9 times by name. So 3 times the devil is spoken of. Well, 6 of the 12 references to Satan and the devil are in the questions that you have on your handout there in front of you. 6 of the 12 times that the devil is mentioned in the larger catechism, it's in the Lord's Prayer. The questions related to the Lord's Prayer. Well, the Lord's Prayer, we want to see application in moving forward with how we can further the love for and the use of the Sabbath day in our culture. Let's look to the Lord's Prayer to do that. Because it's really our only strength in this world. It's our only way of improving this world. We don't sit atop the hierarchy of the civil magistrate. We don't have all the power. We don't hold all the cards. We pray. We have very little influence in our culture. Let's look to see how the larger catechism sees the Lord's Prayer in the furthering of the Sabbath day. The Lord's Prayer is actually a pretty good barometer for how we believe the world should be. It's a record of what we ought to be praying for. So it's a record of what we want. It's a way of seeing how we want the culture to be. It lists for us the goals that we should be moving toward. And for the church, the Lord's Prayer is how we believe Satan to be working in our day. This is the front line of the battle in the Lord's Prayer. This is where we see the things that Satan is doing in our culture and how we ought to pray against it. I'd like to just read very briefly. In fact, with our time, I don't want to go through each of these particular points here this afternoon. But, as you can see on the handout, the Sabbath day is essential in our prayer against Satan's work. I'm going to say that again. The Sabbath day is essential in our prayer against Satan's work. And I hope you can see today, as we look at these statements, that all of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer are related to fighting against Satan's work. And I want to also make the point that if you do not keep the Sabbath and understand the Sabbath as it is presented in the fourth commandment, you cannot pray the Lord's Prayer. You cannot, because there will be an inconsistency there that you won't be able to overcome. We pray for the destruction of Satan's work in the Lord's Prayer. And then how inconsistent is it to pray as our Lord has commanded if we want to discard the Sabbath day? By denying the central place of the Lord's day, we completely undercut every single petition of the Lord's Prayer. Without the Sabbath, we can't pray the Lord's Prayer. Look to the first petition. What do we pray for in the first petition? In the first petition, which is, "Hallowed be thy name," acknowledging the utter inability and indisposition that is in ourselves and all men to honor God aright, we pray that God would, by His grace, enable and incline us and others to know, to acknowledge, and highly to esteem Him, His titles, attributes, ordinances, word, works, and whatsoever He is pleased to make Himself known by. Do you see that you can't pray that if you don't keep the Lord's day? We are not inclining us and others to know and acknowledge and highly esteem Him, His titles, attributes, ordinances, word, works, and whatsoever He is pleased to make Himself known by if we eliminate one of the primary means by which we can do those things. How can we make God known as we ought to make God known if we eliminate God's day? The Sabbath is the time that God has ordained in His grace to know the things of God. How can you pray consistently that God would reveal Himself if you are jettisoning the one thing that Christ uses in our culture to reveal Himself and to glorify Him in thought, word, and deed in the first petition? Well, how are we glorifying God in thought, word, and deed if we're eliminating one of His commandments? By definition, denying the fourth commandment is failing to glorify God in thought, word, and deed. That He would prevent and remove atheism, ignorance, idolatry, profaneness, and whatsoever is dishonorable to Him. Now, can you pray that portion if you deny the Lord's day? How do we prevent and remove atheism without the Sabbath day? Eliminating the Sabbath day is what atheists want. Eliminating the Sabbath day is what Satan wants in this world. He wants to eliminate a day that honors God. This is the desire of Satan, to blot out the glory and the memory of the Sabbath, to bring in all irreligion and impiety. And so a person, a Christian, who denies the Lord's day cannot pray for the removal of atheism, ignorance, idolatry, profaneness, or things dishonorable to God. How can we pray to remove ignorance if we deny the fourth commandment? How can we pray to remove idolatry if we deny the fourth commandment? How can we pray to remove profaneness if we deny the fourth commandment? The simple answer is that we cannot. We must have the Sabbath to accomplish these things in our world. If we want to pray to remove whatsoever is dishonorable to Him, I think I would say it's pretty dishonorable to dismiss the fourth commandment. So then we should pray for the removal of whatever or whoever stands opposed to the Lord's day. Next, by His overruling providence, direct and dispose of all things to His own glory. So for the first petition, how do we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," if we're denying the fourth commandment? The denial of the fourth commandment destroys the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Let's look at the second petition. This one specifically mentions Satan twice, I believe. Then we're going to skip down to the sixth petition. We won't go through them all. Look at the second petition. In the second petition, which is "Thy kingdom come," acknowledging ourselves and all mankind to be by nature under the dominion of sin and Satan, we pray that the kingdom of sin and Satan may be destroyed. So you see where we're going here. If we're acknowledging ourselves and all mankind to be by nature under the dominion of sin and Satan, why would we want to give up the Sabbath day? The one day that most vocally announces, most visibly announces the victory that has been won by Jesus Christ, that crushes the kingdom of Satan. How can we pray that Satan's kingdom would be destroyed? How can we pray that his kingdom would be destroyed if we grant him perhaps the greatest desire of his heart? That we would stop celebrating the day that pronounces the fall of his kingdom. What could be more inconsistent than to desire and pray the second petition while at the same time denying the fourth commandment? Look at the next section of the second petition. The gospel propagated throughout the world, the Jews called, the fullness of the Gentiles brought in, the church furnished with all gospel officers and ordinances, purged from corruption, countenanced and maintained by the civil magistrate, that the ordinances of Christ may be purely dispensed and made effectual to the converting of those that are yet in their sins, and the confirming, comforting, and building up of those that are already converted. That Christ would rule in our hearts here and hasten the time of his second coming and reigning with him forever, and that he would be pleased to exercise the kingdom of his power in all the world as may best conduce to these ends. Now here we don't have time to go through each statement, but notice how each statement is dependent upon the Sabbath day. Notice how each statement is dependent upon the Sabbath day. The gospel propagated throughout the world. On what day does that happen? Generally, the Sabbath. Furnishing the church with ordinances. When does the church celebrate her ordinances? Generally, on the Sabbath day. That the ordinances of Christ may be purely dispensed. When does that happen? Generally, on the Lord's day. Confirming, comforting, and building up all those who are already converted. On what day are we generally confirmed, comforted, and built up, if not the Lord's day? When do these things happen? On what day do these things particularly happen in relation to the church? They happen on the Lord's day. So how can we pray the second petition with any kind of consistency if we abandon the Sabbath day? Thirdly, let's read the third petition. I mentioned the devil in the third. In the third petition, which is, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," acknowledging that by nature we and all men are not only utterly unable and unwilling to know and do the will of God, but prone to rebel against his word, to repine and murmur against his providence, and wholly inclined to do the will of the flesh and of the devil. And so we're admitting in our prayer that we are inclined to do the will of the devil. But what is the will of the devil in regard to the Sabbath day, as we've seen from God's word? It's something holy. It's something that Satan hates. So if we're inclined to do his will on our own, why would we do that if we are God's children? We pray that God would by his Spirit take away from ourselves and all others all blindness, weakness, indisposedness, and perverseness of heart, and by his grace make us able and willing to know, do, and submit to his will in all things. With the like humility, cheerfulness, faithfulness, diligence, zeal, sincerity, and constancy as the angels do in heaven. Again, you see the pattern we're following here. We're acknowledging the power of the devil. Why would we want to yield a Sabbath day to him if he has this power in the world? But notice also in this particular petition, "Thy will be done." To keep the Sabbath is the will of God. It's the fourth commandment. What could be any more clear in the Word of God that the Ten Commandments are the will of God? If we're going to say and pray for God's will to be done on earth, how can we do that if we deny the fourth commandment? The fourth petition specifically is about the provision of our daily bread. But the provision of our daily bread is something that's inseparably connected to the fourth commandment. If you think through the process of what the fourth commandment is, can't you see how that's related to your work, to your labor, to your earning of wages? It's related to the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day regulates all of our time and our labor, the earning of our bread. The petition makes no sense without the Sabbath day. How can we get rid of the day of rest that ensures our productivity and blessing from God and our daily labors, and then pray that God would give us our daily bread? That is an inconsistency. We cannot pray the fourth petition without the Sabbath day. We can't pray the fifth petition without the Sabbath day. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer focuses on the forgiving of our debts. A prayer that is simply focused on the satisfaction of Christ for our sins. This is also the central message of the Lord's Day. On this day He arose from the dead, victorious over death and sin to pay our debts. How can we pray the fifth petition if we deny the Sabbath day? We can't. The sixth petition mentions Satan three times, because it's concerned with temptation and evil. Again, we've stated all along that Satan wars against the Sabbath day so that he can bring in all irreligion and impiety. So how can we pray the sixth petition to remove temptation if we fail to keep the Sabbath? Very, very inconsistent to pray to keep the Sabbath or the sixth petition while denying the importance of the Sabbath day. The scriptural proof is clear. One of the ways that Satan tries to destroy us is by trying to destroy the Sabbath day. Going down through the sixth petition on this one statement here, we pray that God would so overrule the world and all in it, subdue the flesh, and restrain Satan. How can we possibly, with a straight face in our prayer, pray that God would restrain Satan, but then neglect the fourth commandment? One of the ways that Satan is restrained in our world is through the Sabbath day. How are we quickened in the use of the means of grace, as we see later on, if we neglect the Sabbath day, which is the day for the use of the means of grace? How can Satan bring in all irreligion and impiety? Bringing in irreligion. This is an absence of religion. The Westminster Confession, when it says religion, it means the Christian religion. In fact, we would state, probably pretty well understood, that many times religion becomes a tool of Satan. We're talking about the Christian religion as it is related in the Word of God. One of the chief ways that irreligion and impiety are brought into a culture are by the destruction of the Sabbath day. The Sabbath is a source of spiritual strength for God's children, as we've seen, not in and of itself, but because of the time that it allots by the use and the giving and the means of grace. I'll read two quotes as we close our time this afternoon. First, Thomas Ridgely says, "The profanation of the Sabbath is generally the first step to all manner of wickedness and making of great advances to a total apostasy from God." This is an interesting thought from Robert Shaw. Shaw was a Presbyterian in Scotland. I know you're shocked to hear that I would quote from a Scottish Presbyterian. In Scotland in 1845, Shaw observed of Scotland, "Sabbath profanation has of late years been making progress with fearful rapidity. And as this is the fertile source of numerous other evils, we know of nothing more injurious to our country. The proper observation of the Sabbath is a principal means of promoting the temporal welfare of individuals and of nations, of elevating the tone of public morals, of advancing the interests of religion, and of drawing down the divine favor and blessing. The desecration of the Sabbath, on the other hand, is detrimental to the temporal interests of men, demoralizes the community, lays waste religion, and calls down the displeasure and judgments of God upon a nation. Everyone, therefore, should exert all his influence to arrest the progress of this increasing evil, and should resolve that whatever others do, he will keep the Sabbath from polluting it. That was 1845 in Scotland. I want to say today as we close, there will never be another Reformation without the Sabbath day. There will never be a Reformation of our nation without the Sabbath day. There will never be a Reformation of the church without an honoring of the Lord's day. There will never be true and biblical revival without the Sabbath. It will not happen. It's essential in the blessing of God for us to honor His commandments. How can Christians complain about crime, about abortion and lawlessness, when they themselves have trampled upon perhaps the most important tool to promote religion and order in society? If you don't keep the Sabbath, you can't complain when Satan uses your sin to bring in irreligion and impiety into the church, into your family, and into your culture. May the church today awaken to see where irreligion and impiety comes from. And may they once again turn to see the true beauty and the value of the fourth commandment. Please stand with me as we pray.